Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. Today we won't be continuing with our series in John's first letter because today is Pentecost. It is a day that we remember the coming of the Holy Spirit with wind and fire, resting upon the disciples, enabling them to speak in different languages to communicate with the people around them. So let's read part of the story from Acts chapter 2. Verses 1 to 13. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them. "They have had too much wine." So as we look at Pentecost, we can see the continuation of God's salvation plan, which started with Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection, and now continues with the coming of the Holy Spirit. We see in Pentecost God's wisdom and grace as he works out his plan to amazing effect. So let's look at some of the key features that made this event such a powerful thing that it launched the disciples' ministry to the nations. So one important factor to note is God's perfect timing. Before Jesus ascended to heaven, he gave his disciples the commission to go to all nations and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But he didn't just tell them to go. He also instructed them to wait for the gift that was promised to them by the Father. And then Jesus ascended into heaven. And so the disciples had to wait. From the ascension to Pentecost is 10 days, and I imagine that it was quite a tense and anxious 10 days. I'm sure some of the disciples were getting antsy and wanting to get on with things. Can you imagine the conversation in that upper room? "Why are we just waiting around? We've got work to do, but we're just sitting around doing nothing. Jesus told us we need to go and make disciples, so why haven't we gone out?" Yes, he told us to go, but he also told us to wait here for the gift from the Father. We can't go until that happens. Does anyone know when that is going to happen? How will we know we've received the gift when we don't even know what is going to happen? Maybe we've already received the gift and we're just wasting time sitting around. I'm sure the conversation didn't go exactly like that, but I can imagine there was some discussion about their two commands to go and to wait. But God knew what he was doing and his timing is perfect. God deliberately waited for the day of Pentecost for, I believe, at least two reasons. I think one reason it took place when it did is because of the symbolism of Pentecost. Pentecost is the Jewish festival that took place, on the one hand, to celebrate the harvest. It was often called the Festival of Weeks because Pentecost came 50 days, or a week of weeks, after they celebrated the Feast of First Fruits, which was the beginning of the barley harvest. Pentecost therefore celebrated the end of the barley harvest and the beginning of the wheat harvest. As such, this festival was used to celebrate the generosity and abundance of God in providing the sun and the rain and the products from the harvest. The Holy Spirit coming at this moment is therefore yet more demonstration of the generosity and abundance of God, as now God was choosing to pour out his Holy Spirit and to dwell with people who were ready to believe and accept him. Additionally, by the time of Jesus, this festival had also come to be associated with Moses and the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. So while they were celebrating the harvest on the one hand, on the other hand, the Jews also celebrated the coming of the law and the covenant that God had made with Israel through Moses. I think it is significant that the Holy Spirit came to the disciples on this day as evidence of the new covenant brought about by the death and resurrection of Jesus and sealed with the receiving of the Holy Spirit. While the Jews were celebrating the law and the old covenant, God was revealing his grace and the new covenant he made through Jesus. So I think the symbolism of Pentecost as a demonstration of God's abundance and generosity, and also the revelation of the new covenant, is one reason that God waited until Pentecost to send the Holy Spirit. Another reason I think that God waited is a bit more practical. Pentecost was one of the three Jewish pilgrimage festivals. This meant that Jews from all over came to Jerusalem to offer their sacrifices in the temple. We see in Acts 2 that there were people not just from Israel, but from all over the Roman Empire. Luke includes a list of some of those different nationalities that heard the message: Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya and Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Christians and Arabs. A huge list of people from all over the Roman Empire. If you wanted a message to spread far and wide, proclaiming that message in the native languages of all those different people would be a great way to achieve that aim. People would travel back to their own homes, talking with others about the amazing experience they had when they heard this message being spoken in their own language by people who would not normally have known it. But deeper than just this practical concern, the fact that everyone heard the message in their own native language was a demonstration that this message is for everyone. For people to hear it in their own language means that God knows them and wants a personal, intimate relationship with each person in that crowd, and with all of us too. This is something that should not be underestimated or taken for granted. Imagine you were a person in that crowd. You're in a crowd of people, surrounded by people who do not speak your language. To be able to communicate with the people around you, you would have had to use Greek, as that was the common language used through the empire. But you don't expect anyone to be speaking your language. Except suddenly, you hear your native tongue speaking an amazing message of salvation. This is God choosing to use these disciples who do not normally speak your language to communicate with you in a personal way. God speaks to you in the way you can best understand, because this message is for you. God has provided a way for you to have a relationship with him without it needing to be mediated by a high priest on your behalf, and he speaks to you about this in your own mother tongue. To those Jews who first heard this message on their mother tongue, it would have been mind-blowing. And so God waited till Pentecost so that he could reach all these people personally. So timing was an important factor that made this Pentecost event so powerful. But a more important factor is the power and presence of God that was evident to all who witnessed the event. God's presence and power was clearly demonstrated by the symbols of wind and fire. We are told, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Wind and fire were recognisable symbols of God's power and presence, and the Jews would have made the connection to many of the Old Testament references in which God was revealed to the world through wind or fire. So let's look at wind. God is described as wind right from the beginning. In Genesis 1 verse 2 it says, "The Spirit of God was hovering over the water." The word used for spirit is ruach, which can be translated as spirit or wind or breath. Thus God's presence can be seen in the wind that hovers over creation. In the story of the Exodus, God parted the sea with a strong east wind. And this wind was a demonstration of the power of God, that he was able to push the waters back. In Ezekiel 37, God breathes into dry bones to make them come to life. It is the breath of God, the wind of God, that gives the dry bones the power to come back to life. Through this breath, God's power and presence is recognizable, as it says, "Then you will know that I am the Lord." So we can see that wind was an established sign of God's power and presence. For the sound of a violent wind to come at the time of Pentecost was evidence of God's power and presence at that moment. Fire was also a recognized an established symbol of God's power and presence throughout the Old Testament. Moses met with God in the burning bush, and during the Exodus, the pillar of fire led the Israelites during the night. In both of these incidents, God's power and presence was revealed in fire that behaved in supernatural ways, in a bush that didn't burn up, and a pillar of fire that led the Israelites in the wilderness. And again, when Elijah was challenging Ahab because of his idol worship, the prophets of Baal were unable to call down fire to light their offering. Yet when it was Elijah's turn, he poured gallons of water on his offering and then prayed to God, and the fire of God consumed his offering, signifying God's power and presence to all. There are many more references through the Bible that link fire with God's presence and power, especially when that fire behaves in supernatural ways, like in the examples mentioned. So when tongues of fire come down from heaven and rest on the disciples, this was a clear sign that God was present and moving powerfully. These symbols of God's presence helped prove the truth of the message that the disciples were delivering to the crowd. But it was clear that there were still some who didn't believe. Some in the crowd mocked the disciples, saying, "They have had too much wine." Even when God's presence and power is clear to us, people still doubt and mock. But these signs gave enough proof to many in the crowd that about 3,000 people were added to their number that day. Pentecost was hugely important for the spreading of the gospel, primarily because it was the day that the disciples received the Holy Spirit. The symbols of wind and fire helped to confirm to those that were watching the spectacle that God truly was present and moving in power and resting upon the disciples. Pentecost was also important because the timing had symbolic meaning to point to the establishment of the new covenant through Jesus. And the people from all over the empire that had come to the festival were able to take the message back home to their own lands. Pentecost was important for the people who experienced it at the time. It is also important for us today because the Holy Spirit did not only rest on those disciples present at that time. The same Holy Spirit that came in a mighty wind and fire is dwelling with us today and wants to empower us to do the works laid out for us. The Holy Spirit lives in us and longs to work through us to do amazing things, just like he did with the disciples. Will you let the Holy Spirit have his way in you? Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the wonderful outpouring of your Spirit at Pentecost. And Lord, we recognize that nothing we can do can earn us the right to receive the Holy Spirit, but you pour out your love and mercy with abundance and grace. And the Holy Spirit is poured into our lives. Lord, help us to receive your Spirit and to listen to him, to follow your guidance, Holy Spirit, so that we can do amazing things through you at work in our lives. May we be obedient to you. Amen.